Bless your hearts. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. In our most recent teaching series, A Study of God's Love, week by week the scriptures have guided us to a greater comprehension of the reality of each individual person, each individual beloved one's relationship with God. And our relationship is, if there's one point I want to make, our relationship is a reality. The world is the lie. You know, we have all these things going on around us, but the eternal reality is that we have a relationship with the Almighty God. And it actually began before the foundation of the world, because He first loved us. He loved us all along. And, you know, to find out that you have been loved all along for such a long time with such forethought and care, it's really more than the human mind can comprehend, because that is a relationship that would be beyond your wildest dreams. To approach a relationship that you found out before you even knew about it, that they had loved you for just ever and ever. And they were just waiting for the day that you would respond. So, and then on top of that, this is a love that will never grow cold, and it's a love that will fill us. God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, God does not change. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. And then 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And in James 1:17 here, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Wow. God is the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights. And in him there is no darkness at all. There's no variableness. His nature is unchanging. His perfection, his purposes, his promises are steadfast. And if the Father of lights is unchanging, do you think he could turn and just do something evil one day? Do you think that he could say, oh, I've loved this beloved one since before the foundations of the world, I think I'll just hack him across the neck today. Yeah, I think I'll just make it storm right over their little neck of the woods. Just make them have a terrible day. I'll teach them a lesson. No, it can't be that way. There's no variableness, neither shadow or turning. And he cannot be the cause of darkness. So since only good and perfect gifts come from him, evil cannot proceed from our Heavenly Father. With him there is no shadow of turning. And this verse is kind of worded in astronomical terms, because it speaks about the, kind of alludes to the sun in its courses, how it would be, it would change from season to season, how it would go up, how it would rise, how it would set. But I guess maybe watching Westerns as a little kid, I kind of like to think of it as the sun is high noon. There, you know, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. To me, that's like a high noon. And there is one time each day at precisely 12 o'clock that the sun is at its pinnacle. Nothing casts a shadow at that peak moment. And you know, really, with God in Christ in you, every second of every day we live in the reality of high noon. That's where we live. That's where God seated us in Christ Jesus. So if we notice a shadow overhead, or we notice a shadow, you know what? It's simply not your shadow. It's a mistaken identity because it's not your shadow. You don't have any. God lives in you as a beloved one. So there is no shadow. That is the reality. One day last week, I was driving home from work and the local forecast was sounding really treacherous. So as my manner is, I began to pray and rebuke evil out of the storm that was on its way. And then all of a sudden I realized, Connie, you are getting really wordy in telling God what the weather should be like. And it was so funny that I actually laughed out loud in my car. I said, oh God, whatever weather you want to send, we'll take it. Because we already know that he's only going to send something that's good, and he's only going to send something that's perfect. But if there is any evil that's trying to latch on, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. So the point is, whatever God sends, it will be just right. It will be appropriate. And as we heard in the prayers and the manifestations today, we're off the charts. He is going to bless us above what we can ask or think. It will be just perfect. And, you know, as we continue nurturing ourselves with verses like we just read in James, we will make the connection that we don't have to lay out all the details for God. I think, he is the perfect planner, gift planner, and he is the perfect giver. By his own words, we already know that in every blessing, there is love, there's heart, and there is quality. Every blessing that comes from him. And I always think of the way that Larry likes to share it based on that verse in 1 John 4:16. When we know and believe the love that God has for us, we will then begin to live like children whom God loves. And we'll enjoy, it will be a wonderful relationship. You know, maybe we have experienced a little confusion on becoming clear and concerned about things when we pray, thinking that maybe we have to do that or we need to do that before God can process our prayer. But, you know, the truth is in 1 John 5:14-15, he says that this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And he will give us that petition that's according to his will. So he's clear. He's concerned. Us, we just have to be sure that we believe that he knows what he's doing. So when the storms of life attempt to overcome us, we want to process the truth we know concerning trusting God, concerning the nature of God. And that's why it's so significant to know the truth. That's why we don't go to read the word every day to be religious. We don't go to read the word every day to have some kind of spiritual exercise. We go to the word to build ourselves in our believing. We want to know the menu. We want to know what's on the buffet. Because this is ours, all these promises. Truths, or trusting God, that's believing. Trusting God. Our believing should be, I trust him. I trust him. We can deliberately tether ourselves to truths that we know because it's a decision of the will. And the interesting thing is, as we move along in life, tethering ourselves to those truths that we know today, a year later, we look back and say, boy, that truth is so much richer to me today than it was last year. I have learned so much by taking that to heart and endeavoring to utilize it. God has given me understanding. I now have some wisdom about that promise or that scripture. So, you know, there are times when circumstances arrive that I just desire to get away by myself. Larry talked about Jesus Christ getting away by himself to pray. He did that a lot. We read it throughout the Gospels. But I like to get away by myself. And I don't know of a better way to put it, but so I can just rehearse out loud what I know to be the truth. And then I keep talking myself through God's word. I just keep talking myself through God's words of promise to help me solidify my trust in that situation. Because that's the thing. The problem is not the problem. If there is a problem, it's me not looking to process it with the truth of God's word. I want to be able to arrive at a logical conclusion by just rehearsing verses. Bam, 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 bam. You may be in a situation where you don't have time to sit down with the concordance. You know, you don't have time, maybe you don't even have your Bible with you. But that's why David talks about in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart. That's where we put the word. That's why we go to the word, to put it in our heart. You know, and then and only then, once I am logically persuaded of what needs to come to pass, which is God's will, then I'm ready to say amen and go my way. And then I just have a peace, because when the adversary comes back around and tries to sow seeds of doubt, he can't, because I've already said amen, which is so be it. I have already brought myself to the place I needed to be. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to take care of that situation on my behalf. And you know what happens? I keep getting better at it. Let's turn to Romans 5. It's very interesting in Romans 5 because it says, we'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And Jake says that that word tribulation is... that we have no loss, we have no deterioration, we have the faith to move through that situation. And patience, and of course patience would be endurance, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And that's why I keep becoming more comfortable living like God's child. I try it out. I just keep trying it out. And you know what? I find it works. So then the next time we try it out, we have more confidence than we did the first time. It's just like starting a new job. Everything is new. You don't know anything about the technology per se. Everything's a little different. But you gain your confidence as you utilize it. So I gain confidence in assessing accessing God's grace to help in time of need. I realize I have more patience, more endurance the next time. I'm not all uptight or back and forth. I have gathered my own personal proof that there is hope in every instance. Let's look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57. And you know, what we've just been talking about, it was much that way with David throughout his life. The Psalms are loaded with examples. David's enemies were all about him. They were everywhere. He was being chased by somebody all the time. In turmoil, he rehearsed to himself what he knew to be the truth about God, about God's nature, about God's promises. He constantly fed his trust in the Almighty. And that's why I really think that, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Because we need to be feeding our trust in God. We need to rehearse it. And David is just a beautiful example. And we know that he was a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect. Not because he, was God's man all the time. But because he fed his trust in Almighty God. He poured his heart out before God. The good, the bad, the ugly. He let it rip. God, this is the way I feel. This is what they're doing. And this is this, that's that. But you know what? I know you. And you are going to bring it to pass. You are going to help me. He saw that God had his back all the time. He never faltered. He wasn't away. God was always right there. And he gained the experimental confidence from his trust in God to live another day and sing God's praises, not only to himself, but to everybody around him. In God's own words, David was a man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 57, we're actually going to read the whole thing. It starts out, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Now, this calamity he's talking about is Saul, King Saul, is sending everybody out to kill him. He is on a mission to physically kill David. So he says, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake up, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Now, at the end of this psalm, King Saul was still trying to kill him. So circumstances hadn't changed, right? No. They hadn't at all. But David's resolve for God's deliverance was rock solid. His heart was peaceful in God's care. His emotions were vested in God's performance, not in the peril, but in God's performance. When David rehearsed the characteristics of God, he came away praising. Feelings and emotions can carry us all over the place when we look at the circumstances of a situation. Our faith must come to rest on the truths that God is good always, that in Him is no darkness at all. He loves each of us. He is light. In the very face of adversity, we count Him faithful who has promised. Again, we tether ourselves to these truths because these truths alone are our reality. It's not the reality for everybody, but for the beloved one, scriptures are our reality. Many psalms show David praising God and rehearsing God, God's greatness to himself and others. Think about even be a good psalm to read this week, Psalm 119, all 176 verses. It's wonderful because in every verse, the word of God is referenced. Something wonderful about God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. See how now that verse fits in? It comes by me rehearsing on the good days so that they're there on the cloudy days. So that they're there when I need them to call upon. David communed with God. He connected. He added the best. He added his absolute best to that relationship with God because he realized God loved him. God wanted this relationship. And all of a sudden, here's a man who responded. Here's a man who, wow, God loves me? Why would I not love him back? Why would I not trust him in all these things? So he gave his best to that relationship. He welcomed God's interventions during perils. He appreciated God's loving kindness, his grace, his mercy. And his heart was always full of praise. And we do have one medical person in the room today. And I'm sure that you have heard that positive people live longer than negative people. Well, we aren't positive people. We're word-believing people. It's so much greater than just being positive. So, you know, it only stands to reason that people with God and Christ in them would live for all eternity. Because we've got the upper edge over positive believing, that's for sure. So David was sure he was firmly fixed that God was light, that in him was no darkness at all, and that God loved him all the time. I think back on our series, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. Even if you read an extra chapter tomorrow, he's not going to love you anymore. And there's nothing you're going to do that's going to make him love you less. God loves you. He loves each one of us the same, perfectly and fully. David made God's words his words to the point that his words were God's words. Does that make sense? Let it soak in. His attitudes in life reflected God's characteristics. They reflected God's love, God's light. His behaviors ascribed glory to God. So let's do a reality check. We have the highest caliber of love within us. The highest caliber of love. We are, this isn't a simile, this isn't a metaphor, this isn't hypokatastasis, this is We are. Well, this is hypocatastasis. I guess. We are the salt of the earth. We are the lights of this world. We have God's power and authority and his charge to us to utilize it. There are biblical solutions for living in a corrupt world, and our presence, the presence and power of God in us, impacts this world in many miraculous ways, many of which we will never know until the gathering together. How you walk by a person in need and you say something encouraging and they just light up, or they take that to heart and it makes their day. Maybe it even changes their perspective on life. A lot of ways that our presence blesses this world when we come and go. Our lives represent the kingdom of God. So let's take our relationship with our Heavenly Father to the next level. God bless you.